Pray that you'll help us to forget the bits that you didn't inspire, and Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take the bit that you've put there, especially for us. May it be all about you, Jesus. Amen. Please take your seats, have a bit of a cold. And also forgot to say, it's communion this evening, 6:30. So prayer and communion together, so please come to that. Okay, the gospel. Good news of great joy. I'm not going to do a Christmas story, but yeah, good news of great joy for all of us. When we think of the word gospel, what do we think of? Gospel choirs, gospel tracts, four of the books in the Bible, the gospel truth. I think of a song from my childhood. Don't know if you know this one. G-O-S-P-E-L spells gospel. Give me a wave if anybody ever sang that one. No, my church was even more old-fashioned than when you guys were little, so it was quite good. G-O-S-P-E-L spells gospel, I'm not singing it. G-O-S-P-E-L means good news, Jesus died for sinful men, but he arose and lives again. One day he's coming, for those interested in him, coming to take us to heaven. Yeah, like that. It was all very sweet. The tune was terrible, but the words were straightforward, weren't they? And I do remember it. If you look in Google, the definition is the teaching or revelation of Christ. That's refreshingly honest for Google. And I'm really into the Amplified Bible, partly because it's large print and I can see it, but also because of all the extra bits it gives me. It is like having little sermon illustrations for every word. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:2, by this faith you are saved, which is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And this is the passage it comes from. I'm going to read this from the NIV. So it's 1 Corinthians 15, 2-11, if anybody wants to follow it in their own Bibles. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. This is Paul saying this, of course. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although they're not now, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, to Paul, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And then another passage from earlier on in Corinthians. And I'm using the Amplified this time for some extra words. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means, in any and every way, save some by leading them to faith in Jesus Christ. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings along with you. The Amplified Bible is great because it also has in the back of it loads and loads of notes. So I've just been on retreats a few weeks ago with Liskew, and we were looking at the gospel. And part of it, we were told to just go away and research and think about it. So I just had to look in the back of my Bible, and it came up with big lists like this. If you want these lists, well, either buy an Amplified Bible or come and ask me for my PowerPoint, because every one of these, I'm not going to go through all of them, every one of these has a reference that helps you to understand why it's saying what it's saying. The content of the gospel is that it is the basic story about Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the promised one from God, that humans should repent to say sorry, that salvation is by faith in Jesus, that God gives us his grace, his undeserving favour, that both Jews and Gentiles can be saved, which is good for us, that Jesus will return as judge, the somber bit of it, and it tells us how believers should behave. We kind of focus on the repenting bit, don't we, as evangelicals? And I think there's a reason for that, because when Jesus went around, he focused on that too. So Mark chapter 1 says, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The appointed period of time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent," which the Amplified Bible says, "change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance, seek God's purpose for your life, and believe with a deep, abiding trust in the good news regarding salvation." And again, so I'm just making sure you know I'm not plagiarising, these are not my thoughts, these are thoughts from the Amplified Bible, but the characteristics of the gospel are these: that it reveals the glory of Christ, that it is eternal, that it demonstrates God's power, calls us, saves us, gives us peace and hope and life. The gospel grows and bears fruit. And again, some of it, it tolerates no rival. What is our response? If you're sitting there and you're not yet a Christian, perhaps you overcomplicate it. I'm pretty sure I was overcomplicating it when I was a little girl trying to figure out what a Christian was. Felt I had to ask every night to become a Christian again because I'd been naughty. And I think sometimes we do overthink it. And also, if we've been a Christian for a long while, I think sometimes it's something we feel guilty about because it's something we responded to once and we know we're supposed to share it with other people, but we don't know how to do that. We've left it too long to talk to our neighbour now, and how do you just start it? And not to feel silly, and we feel guilty about it, or we feel overcomplicate it. And actually, I think it's quite a simple, sorry, thank you, please. My children, when they were little, didn't speak to adults at all. Some of you know that because you've watched them grow up. Just didn't, just blank you. I'm not going to speak to any adults. I think that's probably my fault. I probably did all their talking for them. But anyway, when Ellen was nearly three, I took her for a visit to the preschool she was going to go to. And the teacher there gave her a picture to colour and said, "What do you say?" She wasn't even going to look at Lydia, never mind thank her for it. She said, "What do you say?" "Well, if you're not going to thank me for it, then I'm going to have to take it back. Thank you." First time she spoke to an adult that wasn't me or Steve. She was not great at those things, but it's something we want our children to understand. Sorry, thank you, and please. And if we take those three words, if you're not a Christian yet, the gospel is, "Sorry, God. I tried to do it my own way, and it's obviously not working. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving me anyway. And please, please, you be in charge now, not me." And if you are a Christian and feeling guilty about not sharing the gospel, then the same three words, three things. Sorry, I realised that you left me here to share the gospel, and I got tied up with other things. Thank you that you love me anyway. Please, fill me with your spirit so that it's about you and not about me. Sorry, thank you, please. This week I've been at the girls' grammar school doing something called the Cream Egg Quest. I'm sure I've mentioned it here before, where we put little notes all around the girls' grammar school saying, if you come to the hall on two different lunchtimes with a question about God, you can exchange your question for a cream egg. 296 cream eggs have gone this week. It's just such a treat. And they sit there. We've got wise. They don't come in, ask the question, grab the egg and leave. Now they have to come in, sit in a group, seven or eight in a group. We'll have a church leader that we trust there, and some kids from the Christian Union there, and all of them ask their questions and get their answers. And when they've heard all six answers, then they get the cream eggs, then they can leave. Which means if they come with a stupid question, which none of them did, I have to say, I answered 35 questions this week on one of the days, and none of those questions were silly. They were all searching for something. But what blew me away were the year eights, so how old are year eights? 12-year-olds sitting next to me answering those questions from the Christian Union. Absolutely blew me away. I was embarrassed to be there. I didn't need to be there. They could have run this on their own. Their answers were superb. Their teaching, Free Methodists, both of them, but their answers were really fantastic. That kind of enthusiasm I like. Guilt shouldn't be our response. This is good news of great joy. Now, the response, again, the Amplified Bible says our response to the gospel should be these things. Now, this is a bit of a heavy list, so be careful. We need to believe it. We need to obey it. We need to not be ashamed of it. We need to live in line with its truth. We need to serve it, continue in it, promote it, defend it, may have to suffer for it, and preach it. It does sound a bit demanding, doesn't it? Might put us off again and start feeling guilty again. But remember, the gospel is eternal and gives peace and hope and life and grows and bears fruit. It doesn't mean that life isn't hard, and it doesn't mean that our task doesn't cost us. But then we've been born into a country where the cost is minuscule compared to our brothers and sisters. I don't know if many of you get the Open Doors newsletters, and they send you a monthly prayer journal. Can I recommend that to you? Because it's one sentence to pray for one person who is really suffering for the gospel. If you don't get it already, then email them and get it, because it's easy to do. And yesterday's prayer request was for Zemzem, a Christian lady from the Horn of Africa whose husband has divorced her for becoming a Christian. So Open Doors wanted to do something about this to help her. She was left with two children to look after and no money, no income. So they helped her to set up a little shop. But then the landlord from the shop discovered she'd become a Christian and kicked her out of the shop. We're asked to pray for her. We never face that kind of persecution. Even in my job, the worst that ever happens is a teacher will invite me in, so they're okay with me, but the teaching assistant might think, what on earth are we allowing these Christians in to say these things? And they sit with their back to me almost, and they sometimes give me a hard stare. But, you know, I can live with that. Imagine being somebody who is completely surrendered to sharing the good news of Jesus, and having a really clear call from God. Some of you pray for OMF. There's an OMF prayer meeting, I know, that happens. And it was originally called the China Inland Mission. Today, in OMF, there are around 1,400 missionaries from 40 nations working around 100 different people groups in East Asia. I've just read Hudson Taylor's story. He's the man that started it all off, because we had to read a biography for our retreat. And it's the only one I could find in the very tiny Christian bookshop in the Isle of Man. So I read Hudson Taylor's biography, and I highly, highly recommend it. If you want to borrow it from me, you can have it after my colleague Johnny has read it. I was expecting a man who surrendered his life to Christ and then found blessing around every corner. And I turned to each new chapter expecting them to be another miracle of provision. And they were there, but they were amongst the trials and the disappointments. Hudson Taylor was sometimes too ill to cope, sometimes too overwhelmed to function, too human to begin a mission. And it wasn't until more than two-thirds of the way through the book, when Hudson Taylor's calling seemed to be choking him, that he had a revelation. And I'm pleased to say that it wasn't like an audible voice from God, and it wasn't a vision, and it wasn't an angel, because that would make him like something I couldn't relate to. But it was a letter from a friend and a reminder of a passage from the Bible. And the rest of Hudson Taylor's story sounds completely different. He was literally praising his Saviour all the day long, which we're going to sing later on. Whilst he was blamed for hostilities in China that weren't his fault, the money ran out and the need grew. His life was in danger, and his contacts back home let him down. He lost his wife and two more of his children, because one had already died during this time. Missionaries that he was responsible for faced persecution and even death. But he had a completely new attitude, one that was noticed by everyone who met him. There was a minister in Australia who said to Hudson Taylor, "You are occupied with millions and I with tens. Your letters are pressingly important and mine of comparatively little moments. Yet I am worried and distressed, while you are always calm. Do tell me what makes a difference." And it all came back to the letter from his friend and the reminder of a passage of scripture. Let me read a little bit of this. This is a letter that he wrote to his sister. As I thought of the vine and the branches, what light the blessed Spirit poured direct into my soul. How great seemed my mistake in wishing to get the sap, the fullness, out of him. I saw not only that Jesus will never leave me, but that I am a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The vine is not the root merely, but all root, stem, branches, twigs, leaves, flowers, fruit. And Jesus is not that alone. He is soil and sunshine, air and showers, and 10,000 times more than we'd ever dreamed, wished for, or needed. Oh, the joy of seeing this truth. I do pray that the eyes of your understanding too may be enlightened, that you may know and enjoy the riches freely given us in Christ. There he is, Hudson Taylor. And the end product of this man's obedience and resting in Jesus? Well, China Inland Mission was the largest mission agency in China, and it's estimated that Taylor was responsible for more people being converted to Christianity than any other time since Paul the Apostle brought Christianity to Europe, says Wikipedia. Hudson Taylor became part of the Chinese culture and then literally focused on abiding in the vine. Oh, there we are. Do you remember that one? I don't want to do it again, but yeah, this is one of my favourite stories about Basil the Branch. He wants to produce his own grapes, doesn't he? I'm not doing the voices of my throat, so. He strains with all his might to produce his grapes, and he battles with a life full of guilt and regret. But God wants him to just focus on the vine, to allow Jesus to be our source. Hudson Taylor pointed out that Jesus isn't just the big bit in the middle. He is the root, the stem, and the branches, and the twigs, and the leaves, and the flowers, and the fruit, and the soil, and the sunshine, and the air, and the showers. He is everything. Our gospel living should flow from our love and our focus on Jesus, not from guilt or programs or projects or our own ambitions. So who are you concerned for who needs the gospel? China? Cambodia? Let's make it a bit smaller. A neighbour? A work colleague? A family member? Perhaps a friend who has been battered by the world? Or even harder, a friend who seems to have everything together and is much nicer than any Christian you know. They're hard to witness to, aren't they? Maybe we shouldn't look at people like Hudson Taylor. Maybe that seems too unattainable. So how about I share some examples of gospel-focused living closer to home? Logan Wolfen. He pestered his deputy head teacher at his new school until I got an assembly. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Some year 5 and 6 children at St. Michael's on Wire went to their head teacher and said, "Please could we have Bible study? The gospel grows and bears fruit." Whenever I go to St. Bernadette's Catholic School and the children come into assembly, he plays worship music and then tells the children to settle their hearts and to be ready to worship. And the children sit there with their hands together in prayer. There is not an atmosphere like it anywhere. I find it very difficult to stand up and speak because it's so moving to see children praying. The gospel gives us peace and hope and life. Let's remember to keep it simple. Let's say, "Sorry, God, I tried to live my own way again. Thank you for the cross, for the good news of forgiveness and life to the full. And please cleanse me. Please be in charge of me." The good news of Jesus is what life is all about. Let's dream big, pray constantly, and expect miracles. Andy's just going to play a video that we play for the Year 7s at the Boys' Grammar School when we want them to thrive, to live, to change the world. But we want it more for Christians, to change the world, don't we? Enjoy this video. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we say sorry. Lord, either we're sorry because we've tried to live our own way, or we're sorry because we've forgotten to share your gospel. Lord, we come and we say thank you. We say thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for creating us to be in relationship with you. Thank you for not leaving us alone, but giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the witness of children. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to share this good news. And Lord, we come and say, please. Please help us not to battle on our own ever again. Please keep reminding us to rely on you, to focus on the vine. Please help us not to leave you out of any part of our lives. Please help us to not just know the gospel, but to live the gospel. Please may your Holy Spirit fill our lives to overflowing so that those that meet us see Jesus in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. A young lady wrote this hymn, and when she was very young, she was blinded, and yet she wrote these amazing words, and they're all really positive words for somebody that lived with a lot of hardship. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. If you're here and you don't know the gospel, you don't know Jesus, then please speak to somebody afterwards. Don't leave without knowing. Because part of that is Jesus does come back as judge, and we want you to be ready. And if you just want prayer for somebody in particular, if there's somebody that's on your heart a lot and you would love to share the gospel with them, but you felt like it's been so difficult, then again, please speak to somebody. Make sure somebody prays with you before you go. One of the leadership team, Emilian, is here. He could pray with you. His mouth is working. Let's sing. Stand together and sing. Blessed assurance.